How are we? Before I get into it, I would just love if we could all just stand to our feet, if you're able. And either, depending on your relationship with the person next to you, either hug them or give them a high five. Whatever's appropriate. I don't know. Every church is different. You could give the little Christian side hug. Sandra up here is all alone, so someone please encourage her. Please. Okay. Oh, Jesus, this is a bit wobbly. Cool. Is there another one? This one's just, I think it's got some wobbles or something. Cool. All right, you can sit down now. So good. Wonderful. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here. Every preacher has to do something to break the ice. So that was my icebreaker. And also, this is kind of the awkward part of the sermon where you decide whether you like me or not and whether you're going to listen to me. And basically, I'm kind of deciding whether I like you as well. And just so you know, but man, I just want to tell you, just to give you a little bit of insight into, man, I just love the places I love to preach and love to share are the ones that people actually let you know if they like what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, we've had Americans come and preach in our churches in New Zealand, and they'll finish, and they'll get off, and they'll say, man, I think they hate me. And people will come up to them and say, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. And like, really? And I'm like, yeah, that's just their thinking face, you know? So can we, you know, I just appreciate if we don't look like a bunch of zombies this morning. Is that cool? Is that okay? Yeah? Yeah, all right. Sweet. So if you like what I say, you can nod your head. Everyone nod their head. You can smile. Yeah? You can jump up and run around if you want. I don't care. You can do the worm, backflips, just whatever, however you like. I just want to give you guys freedom to... just feel like, you know, this is just a giant living room. This would be an amazing living room. That would be incredible. But we're all just family. I'm not here to come as the preacher or the man of God or the speaker, you know. I just want to come as a brother, as a son, as just a friend and share what God has placed on my heart. Sweet? Cool? All right. Okay, some of you have got it. Yes, tick, pass. Youth, come on, guys. The older generation's showing you up. Yeah, cool. So before I get into things, I really want to give honor where honor is due as well. Too bad Tony has run away. But on behalf of Tony and as well, Sandra, I just want to honor what you guys have done and your yes to the Lord. Being a pastor looks like the hardest job in the world, right? Like, you got to put up with a lot of people and love a lot of people. But I just feel like the Lord's saying that there's a lot of sacrifice that you've made. And there's choices that you've made that have been incredibly difficult, but the Lord sees them, and I just feel like He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And He's just so honored, He's so pleased, and your obedience to Him has just been second to none. So yeah, I just want to honor you, honor Tony, and I mean, there's so much I could say, but I'm gonna leave it at that. Also, I want to honor this church, every single one of you. Church isn't a building. Church isn't a Sunday morning gathering. I know, shock horror. But church is a family of people that love Jesus and want to glorify God. And that's what I sense in this place, is it's a family of people that just want to glorify Jesus and just enjoy each other, love each other. And so I want to honor you because you've shown up this morning. You know, you didn't have to. Maybe your husband forced you to, or your wife forced you to, or whatever. I don't know, boyfriend, girlfriend. But you didn't have to. You could have run away. You could have pretended to go to the toilet and just never come back. But you're here because I just get that you're hungry for Jesus. Maybe you are here just to tick a box, but deep down you're hungry for Jesus. Maybe you're here because you had nothing better to do, but I just feel like deep down you're hungry for Jesus. Maybe you're here because your kids woke you up or your grandkids woke you up at 6 a.m. But I just get deep down you're hungry for Jesus. And so I want to honor every single person in this room. Is that cool? Yeah? And I'm here not because I want to speak. I'm here to serve. I'm here to wash feet. Not literally. Don't take your shoes off because your feet look stinky, bro. You probably haven't changed your socks in like 6 weeks. Just totally here to serve and to honor. And so I really honor you guys as brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in Christ. And just feel like heaven's just rejoicing over this whole gathering. Cool? All right. Fantastic. Thanks for listening to me. I'm done. That's it for the morning. Cool. No. Sweet. I'm going to start my timer. How long does someone normally speak for here? 3 hours? 2 minutes. All right, well, you're in trouble. Ha ha ha. Cool. Awesome. So let's get into it, eh? I'm going to pray. Now, I used to just pray just because it was what we got taught to do in preacher school, but I really want the Lord to move. So let's all close our eyes and focus on Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you that this is the day that you have made and we can rejoice, we can be glad. Every day is a gift from you. And Lord, we expect something from you today. God, we don't want to just show up for another Sunday morning gathering. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to know you more. We want to walk out of this place more inspired, more encouraged, even more convicted. God, we just want you, whatever it takes, Lord, we just want to know you more and we want to love you more from this morning. So we welcome you here. Jesus, you are the guest of honor. Would you come and move in this place? And would you come and just, yeah, have your way in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen. So good. Cool. So let's begin by turning, if you have your Bibles, turning to Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And I'm going to start by sharing a bit of a story of just some changes that we have as a family have gone through. And then just want to just share a little bit about what God's placed on my heart. So Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 20. So if you haven't had your Bible reading this today, here you go. You're welcome. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. It says this: they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, there you go, there it is again, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. They begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. They began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. So this has been definitely the weirdest year of my Christian life. Has anyone ever had that? Like, it's just a whole year of weird. Yeah? Maybe just me? Okay? All right. So this year, Kerry and I began to really sense that the Lord was... A transition was really coming, and the Lord was speaking to us, stirring something within us. And we just did everything that we knew to do. So we took what we felt God was speaking, and we began to take that to people who had a whole lot more wisdom than us, a lot more seasoned than us. They've been through a few transitions in life. We began to process with them, and we just said, "Man, God's speaking to us. This is what we sense he's saying. What do you guys think? Can you pray with us? Can you not tell us what to do, but give us a sense of maybe what God is saying to us?" And as we began to do that, we also started meeting with our leadership in YWAM, the people that God had placed over us in Youth with a Mission, which is where we were serving, and we've been serving for a while. And as we began to talk to them, of course, they weren't happy about it, but they're like, "Hey, we'll support whatever decision you make." And as we were processing, praying, talking, the conclusion that we came to, what we sensed God was saying to us, was that it's time for you both to drop all of your YWAM responsibilities, all of your YWAM leadership, everything that you're carrying with this YWAM base and YWAM all over the world. And it's time to drop that, and it's time to focus and narrow your focus. But also, it's also that God, we felt God say that it's time for Kiri, my wife, to step out of all her YWAM stuff and take a sabbatical. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, a reason for that is we had Gideon, and Gideon is a wild child. He lives up to his name. We totally should have named him Tranquility or Placid or Peace or something, but he really lives up to his name of Mighty Man of Valor. Our midwife, who has delivered hundreds of children, said he was the hardest child she's ever seen. Seriously. He had reflux, he wouldn't sleep, he just screamed at us for hours on end. And some people were like, yeah, that's normal. But like, no, this wasn't normal. Something was up. And he's just been a wild child ever since. He won't sleep if he doesn't want to sleep. He won't eat if he doesn't want to eat. He just does whatever he wants to do. Praise God. And we had Gideon, bit of a tough season, and felt like Kerry should just take some time off from ministry. And raising a child is the ultimate ministry. You know, every mom in here deserves a medal. You get the biggest mansions in heaven. The front row of the throne room of God, it'll just be moms. You know, all of us dads will just be standing at the back somewhere, can't really see God at all. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. And that's all good. But what we felt for me was drop YWAM responsibilities and take this thing called Activate, which is YWAM's vehicle, YWAM's ministry for reaching this nation of New Zealand. And I've been serving with Activate, kind of leading it, but kind of serving it at the same time for the last 4 years, 4.5 years. And it's just been the passion of my life. I so believe in this nation. I so believe in New Zealand. You know, we're such a small nation, but we have such a massive calling in the world. And I mean, look at Brian Houston. He came from Auckland. Look at Phil Pringle with C3 Church. Came from Masterton. Look at Tony and Sandra Blackie, just legends. And I so believe in this nation. I'm just so willing to lay my life down. So I took this thing called Activate and just began to run with it. Now, this one person came with me, and we were charging full steam ahead. We were planning training, internships, we were planning university tours, high school ministry, nationwide tours, all the stuff that we had been doing. But we're like, man, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep charging. As we moved forward with Activate, I started getting this conviction. Something wasn't right. Now, I'm a Kiwi male. I don't do good with feelings, right? You know, like it takes me 2 months to realize what I was feeling. And, okay, just me. All right, once again, don't really make me feel isolated. Come on, someone here doesn't know what to do with their feelings as well. Amen. But I just knew there was this conviction and something wasn't quite right. Like maybe I'd missed what God was saying. Maybe I had, applied some human wisdom to my transition. Maybe I hadn't really fully heard the full picture of what God was speaking. And that's totally normal. You know, it's sometimes we get what God is saying, but the application sometimes can be a little bit off. That's totally just us being human beings. So I began to process this with, you know, my wise seasoned leadership, with YWAM, with anyone that I trusted and who'd been journeying with me over the last number of years. And just what the picture that I got was, I felt like David trying to put on Saul's armor. Do you know that story where David's just about to go out and slay Goliath and King Saul puts his armor on David? And David is like, oh, I can't quite fight in this. This isn't me. This isn't who I am. This isn't how I'm going to fight this giant. And that's what I felt with this thing called Activate. And there's no disrespect to anyone, but I just felt like I was David wearing Saul's armor. And so this is a whole year of processing. This is just like a whole year of journeying, you know, thinking this is what God is saying, but not quite getting it right, but kind of getting it right at the same time. And So after processing more, talking more, praying more, fasting, oh my goodness, you don't realize how much you like food till you don't have it, eh? And I would get to sleep by thinking about food, praise God. So the sense I got, and this was confirmed by person after person after person, that it's time to fully step out of where you are, and it's time to start something totally new. Now, that can sound exciting to some of you, but it sounded really, really scary. You know, stepping out of the boat, stepping out of familiar, safe, comfortable, what I knew, stepping out of all of that and to be out on the water with Jesus. Oh my goodness. And that was confirmed by person after person. I was at a YWAM gathering in Cambodia, and two people came up to me who knew nothing. And they just said to me, I sense that the Lord is saying it's time to start a new thing. Two people who hardly knew me. Then me and Kerry texted one of our friends, and we just said, hey, we have a question for you. And our friend, we didn't even ask Taylor what the question was, and our friend said, I just feel like it's time to start something new. Oh, get off our backs, God. So as of Wednesday this week, like 3 days ago, we officially got prayed out from YWAM, commissioned out to go and start something new. Well, thank you. Thank you. I think Kerry deserves more of a clap than I do. Praise, I don't even know where she is. That's, whatever. So we're in this awkward, like, limbo season where, like Peter, the boat is behind us, the future is in front of us, Jesus is in front of us, and we're just taking one step after another in this awkward walking on water season. You know, we're like Abraham, where God said, I have this land for you, it's an amazing land, but you have to leave where you are. And that's, God didn't give a whole lot of detail to Abraham, you know? And there are way more questions that I can't answer than I can answer. There's so much detail that I can't quite fill in yet, but I know enough to move forward. And what we've been sensing that God has in front of us, and he's just been dropping this word to us just time and time again, is this word catalyst. Everyone say catalyst. Now, God has been speaking to us that he wants to raise up in this nation a movement, and he is raising up, and he has raised up a movement of catalysts. Now, catalyst, there's kind of two definitions. It's a science term, first and foremost. A catalyst is something that it is added to something, that, and it causes, the catalyst causes a reaction. And if that catalyst hadn't been added to that thing, then the reaction wouldn't have happened. A catalyst causes a reaction wherever it goes, a good reaction, a God reaction. Wherever catalyst goes, it brings change and transformation. Yeah? Oh, you're following me. The second kind of definition of a catalyst is it's someone or something that causes a change or causes a difference to a place. So, for example, they built bungee jumping in Taupo, and that was a catalyst to more tourists coming to Taupo. Because they added bungee jumping to this town, more people came, more crazies came, and jumped off a bridge with a giant rubber band attached to them. The bungee jumping was a catalyst for more tourists. It was a catalyst for more income. And that's who I believe you guys are. That's what this church is. That's what each individual, whether you believe it or not, that's who you are, is you're a catalyst. You're someone that's, wherever God calls you to go, you're meant to bring some change. You're meant to bring some transformation. You're meant to see people give their lives to Jesus. You're meant to see people set free of oppression, of depression, of anxiety, of fear, of despair. You're meant to see physical bodies here. I don't care what your theology is. I'm just, you know, speaking the Bible. But you're meant to bring change wherever you go. You're meant to be a catalyst. Come on, don't be a zombie crowd to me. You're meant to be a catalyst wherever you go. That's who you are. And everywhere, God is raising up catalysts all over the earth, that whether they're high school teachers working at McDonald's, whether they're lawyers, whether they're in government, whether they're high school students or university students, wherever they go, they know who they are, they know they're loved by God, and they bring the love of God to that environment, to that sphere of influence. Is this connecting with anyone? Come on. Oh, I'll get way more fired up than I am now. Cool, so you are a catalyst. God is raising up a movement of catalysts. Now, I just want to get into our scripture for today. So this is a wild story, and to me, a lot of this story does not make sense. Because in Mark chapter 4, the chapter before, Jesus and his disciples, they hop into a boat, and Jesus says to his disciples, we're going to go to the other side. That's all he says. He says, we're going from this side of the ocean to that side of the ocean. And if you read the story, what you see is that this giant storm comes. It's like a theme happening today. This giant storm comes, and the disciples are freaking out. They're having a panic attack. But Jesus, it says, is just asleep on a pillow. He's just chilling. He's just asleep on a pillow. I love that. And the disciples, they wake Jesus up. They say, you know, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping? Don't you know we're going to die? This boat's going to sink. Our lives are going to end. You said we're going to get to the other side, but this storm's going to kill us. And Jesus just kindly rebukes them, says, oh, ye of little faith. And then he rebukes the storm, and the whole storm leaves. And then they get to the other side. Now, Mark chapter 5, what happens is, as they get out of the boat, the Bible says, a guy named Legion rocks up to Jesus. And Jesus just starts, you know, setting him free, which is awesome. And as Jesus sets him free, you know, there's some weird things to the story where demons go into a bunch of pigs, the pigs drown. I'm not sure, I don't know why. You know, you can research that yourself. And then, another crazy thing to the story is that this guy who Jesus just set free of thousands of, you know, demonic critters says to Jesus, can I come with you, Jesus? Can I come with you? I want to rumble with you. You've just changed my life. You know, you've set me free of all this stuff. I used to be running around a graveyard naked. Now I actually have clothes on, which is a massive change. And I want to come with you. You know, I just want to follow you. And this Jesus, who is so counterintuitive, right? He's always stirring the pot. He's always doing the unexpected. He says to this guy, you know, my expectation is that Jesus would say, yes, come follow me. You need some discipleship. You've just had a wild deliverance. You might need some inner healing. You might need to get to know the scriptures. You know, you might need to rumble with a nice, healthy community that's going to love on you and champion you. Yeah, come with me, hop in the boat, and let's go. Follow me for the next 2.5 years. But instead, Jesus says, no. And instead, Jesus says, I want you to go into your area, into where you've come from, and I want you to go and tell people what I've just done for you. To me, that's so counterintuitive, right? Like, no, this guy needs to, like, jump in with a church, which is a good thing. He needs to go to Bible college, or maybe get a sozo, you know, just some inner healing. You know, maybe he needs to go see a counselor. Like, he was just running around a graveyard naked screaming. Come on. Like, let's think about that for a moment. Like, not too much, but let's think about that. Don't get into too much detail. They would chain him up. That's how wild he was, and he would break the chains. Everyone was afraid of this guy. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is just like, boom, set free. Now go and tell them what I've done for you. First of all, I just want to point out that Jesus crossed an ocean for this guy. Yeah? Because then the Bible says that Jesus leaves. Jesus crossed an ocean, went through a storm, you know, and just for one guy to set one guy free and then left. That's how wild Jesus' strategy was. But how much more has Jesus done for you? He didn't just cross an ocean. He didn't just go through a storm. He came to earth and went through the cross, yeah? He went through the most excruciating pain that a human being could ever go through. He took all of our sin upon himself. He took the punishment for our sin upon himself because he loves you, because he cares about you, because he sees value and worth in you, and because he wants to be with you forever, yeah? Okay, let's establish that. Jesus' love isn't just a topic that we tick the box, you know? It's not just a doctrine. We go, yeah, I know the love of God. It's a truth to be experienced every day, yeah? All right, carry on. Cool. The next thing I want to point out is this, is that, yeah, Jesus, he goes and he sets this guy free, and he says, go and tell them what I've done for you. Guys, if Jesus has saved you, you have a message to tell, yeah? If Jesus has saved you, you have a testimony. You have something that you can share with others that can transform their life too. Now, I'm an evangelist. I'm not ashamed to say that. Someone asked me before, you're an evangelist. Yeah, my nana's an evangelist. My mom's an evangelist. My dad's an evangelist. I didn't really have a choice. I'm going to be an evangelist. And I love to see the lost saved, right? And I love to see Christians reaching out to non-Christians. I love to see believers reaching out to non-believers. I love to see the saved reaching out to the lost. Now, in my experience, rumbling with a few evangelists in my time, hearing evangelists teach and train and reading books on evangelism, so often what I have noticed, and this isn't against anyone, but so often what I've noticed is that reaching the lost, evangelism, sharing the gospel, sharing the message of Jesus, can be presented in a way where if you're not doing it, you're a naughty Christian. Come on, can anyone relate? I've walked out, yeah, come on. I know, I'm the same. And this isn't like against anyone, you know, this isn't judgment, none of that. This is just what I have observed. And what I've noticed is that as Christians, Because evangelists just, you know, we reach the lost naturally. I'm out with my wife. I'm looking at all the lost people. I'm like, come on, no, focus on your wife. No, 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 lost people, no, focus on your wife, you know. But if I'm by myself or I'm with other people, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. And so we reach the lost naturally, but sometimes we can expect other people to be like us, you know. But the body of Christ, the beauty of the body of Christ is that there are so many giftings. There are so many strengths. There are so many focuses. If you're not reaching, you know, like 10 lost people a day, Jesus still loves you, you know. He's still pleased with you. He still cares about you. Maybe you're not called to preach with a microphone. Maybe you're called to reach one lost person in a sports team. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. Come on. Maybe you felt this nudge to go and pray for someone and you totally wussed out. Been there. Come on. I know you felt that nudge. I know you've had, yeah, come on. And you pretend like, nah, I'm too busy. You know? Oh, you know, I'm a bit too hungry. I need to go get food. I've done that a million times. But Jesus still loves you, even if you miss the nudge, yeah? Even if you miss an opportunity where you had this incredible conversation with someone at Starbucks or, I don't know, wherever you'd like to go for a meal, Burger King. And you had this amazing opportunity where you could have totally shared the gospel and you missed it. Jesus still loves you. Jesus is still pleased with you. Jesus is still proud of you. One of my favorite verses in the world is Psalm 34, verse 8, which says this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I love burgers. Anyone else here love burgers? Yeah, come on. Come on, burgers are the best. And I thought I knew what a good burger was. You know, McDonald's, Burger King, they're nice. But then I went to this place in Auckland called Burger Burger. Now, this place is like, not only does it have the best broccoli you'll ever eat in your life. Seriously, you pay like $8 for a plate of broccoli. It is the best because it doesn't taste like broccoli. It tastes like garlic. But also the burgers at Burger Burger, in my opinion, are the best burgers in New Zealand. I mean, maybe you might think, no, I could cook a better burger. Well, prove it. Show me. I'll come and eat your burgers. But the burgers are amazing. You know, like when my first bite, I just remember biting into it and going, oh, I just encountered Jesus, you know, through a burger. Oh, but these are just so good. Now, I'm like an evangelist for this burger place. You know, I tell my friends, I tell my family, I tell people, oh, you're going to Auckland, you should go to Burger Burger. Oh, you like burgers? Oh, you should go to Burger Burger. Oh, you like broccoli? You should go to Burger Burger. I just preach the good news of Burger Burger because I've tasted and seen that the burgers are good. I know this is a bit of a silly thing, but this is so applicable, I think, to our lives. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you can tell people that the Lord is good, right? You know, if you've watched a good movie, if you've eaten a good meal, you'll tell people about it, right? If you've gone to this place, you're like, man, the fish and chips here are amazing. You'll tell, I believe, at least one person, you should go to this fish and chip shop because the fish and chips are amazing, yeah? Or if you see a good movie, I don't know, what is a good movie? Lord of the Rings. No. Pray for you later. Lord of the Rings. If a foreigner comes to New Zealand, I'm like, have you seen Lord of the Rings? No. Watch Lord of the Rings, man. Come on, because it's a good movie. I'm not recommending people watch The Notebook. Horrible. But taste and see that the Lord is good. If God has done something good in your life, you have a message that you can share with others. You know, I love, everywhere I go around the world, I tell people about the All Blacks. Why? Because they're so good. I know it's a bit of, I also get a bit proud of them. And I stumble into pride, but it's who cares? They're the All Blacks. And so I tell people about the All Blacks because they're so darn good. Come on, are you picking up what I'm putting down? Yeah? We tell people about Jesus, not out of an obligation or some guilt trip or some false responsibility or some heavy burden. We get to tell people about Jesus, yeah? We get to tell people about how good our God is. And I just simply, honestly, I simply go around and just say, hey, Jesus loves you. And some people are like, go away. I'm like, okay, well, he still does, you know? I tell someone, Jesus loves you. And they're like, really? Yes. I'll tell you a couple of stories, eh? You want stories? And then I'll finish, yeah? Okay. So I was sitting next to someone on a plane. Now, planes are awesome places to tell people about God. They can't go anywhere, and you can, you know, if this plane crashed, man, you know, what would it, no. But they can't, and there was this dude sitting next to me. Now, I was on a plane, this is crazy, I was on a plane from Germany. I traveled to Germany 36 hours for a six-day school, and then traveled back to New Zealand, 36 hours. Wild. And I was tired, right? Like, I was jet-lagged. I had just taken in a bunch of information from the school. I was out of it. I just wanted to rest on this plane. I just wanted to, like, you know, just be with Jesus. And so I'm just hanging out with God, you know, reading my Bible. And I just get this the nudge. Tell the person next to you Jesus loves you and cares about you. I'm like, come on, has anyone here ever had an argument with God? Yeah? Good. It's just not me. Okay. So I was arguing with God. You know, cliche, right? Jesus loves you and cares about you. Christian cliche much. Like, that's duh. You know, everyone knows that. But just this conviction, my heart started beating faster, yeah? Started sweating. And I just knew that God wanted me to tell him. I'm like, God, I just want to pray, just be in your presence. You know, I tried to be all spiritual. God's like, no, you know, I want you to tell. So I tapped him on the shoulder, and I just leant over. Totally awkwardly, just full of timidity and not confident. I just said, hey, man, I just want to share with you. It could be a bit weird, but I just want to share with you Jesus loves you and cares about you. Now, this guy started crying. And I was like, oh, no, what did I do? And he just starts sharing with me, why did you tell me that? I said to him, I just felt like God told me to tell you that. And he said, you have no idea what's going on in my life, do you? I said, no, of course not. And he just started sharing with me just what he was going through in his life. And I won't repeat it, but I'll say this. It was really, 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 really intense. Like divorce with his wife, trouble with his kids, and all this other stuff that he was struggling with. And he just said, you know, my dad's a pastor, my brothers are pastors, and I've totally run away from the Lord. And he said, but today I'm coming back to him. Come on. All of that from a little Jesus loves you cliche. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's less about the messenger as it is about the message we share, yeah? And there was one time I was in a university and we were just sharing the gospel with people. And I went up to this guy and said, hey man, do you know Jesus? I mean, I don't have a fancy opener for conversations, you know? If I'm talking with people and we're just having a laugh and maybe they're a random stranger, I don't have a nice way to bring Jesus into the conversation. You know, I'll just steer it that way. I'll say, what did you do on the weekend? That's blah, blah, blah. What did you do on the weekend? Oh, I went to church. Oh, yeah, what do you think about God? You know, I just go straight into it. Who cares? So anyway, I was talking to this guy. Hey, what do you think about Jesus? And he said to me, I'm a staunch atheist. I was like, ooh, okay. Ooh, la, la. So I started asking him questions. Why are you a staunch atheist? You know, what made you believe or not believe? And how did you end up in that place? He started sharing with me all this stuff, and I was like, cool. And then this moment of inspiration came, and I just said, hey man, can we do a hypothetical situation for a moment? He said, sure. I said, hypothetically speaking, let's say there is a God, and this God loves you. And he just started, no, no, and I was like, no, let's just hypothetically speak. Like, let's just pretend. And I just said, and I just started sharing the gospel hypothetically with him. You know, Jesus loves you so much, man. Like, he loves you enough that he died for our sins. We deserve this, but God, because of Jesus, we get eternal life, life in abundance, freedom, all this stuff. And by the time I'd finished my little three-minute hypothetical presentation, he asked me a couple more questions. And by the end of the conversation, he just said to me, so, you know, how do I get saved? What do I have to do? Now, does this happen every time? No. But there are those moments where it's just like, man, you know, all those people that just said no, all those people that didn't want to have a conversation or it was really hard, it's worth it for that one, you know? Like, it's just like fishing. You throw the bait out. Sometimes you catch the dumb little fish and sometimes you catch a snapper. And sometimes I've just caught a snapper. So this guy, man, this guy that Jesus set free, this guy that Jesus sent into his area of influence to go and tell people about him, I just want us to all believe that none of us are disqualified from the call of God. And that each one of us can be a catalyst, whether it's a high school, a university, a workplace. All it takes is 10 seconds of courage. 10 seconds to start that conversation, yeah? 10 seconds to get the thing going. And they might shut it down, but who knows? You never know what bringing up Jesus could do. Every single one of us is called to be a catalyst. I'll finish on this as, I guess, the worship team comes up. Or no, not at all. That's how we finish. Yeah, let's bring the worship team up. And I'll finish on this. So our last census, 40% of New Zealand ticked that they were a Christian. Now, it could be more, it could be less. I don't know. I'm naturally a cynic, so I think less, but who knows. 40% of New Zealand ticked the Christian box. I believe in Jesus, I love God, I'm saved. Now, let's say if in 1 year, let's say if that 40% reached one person for Jesus, yeah? If 40%, now the 40% of New Zealand who are saved reached one person for Jesus in a year, how much in New Zealand would be saved? How much New Zealand would have come to the Lord in total? 80%. Isn't that wild? If we all reached one person in 1 year, if we just targeted like 5 people in prayer and then just targeted them in conversation, invited them around for barbecues or whatever, however you reach people, if we all saw one person in 1 year come to the Lord, 80% of New Zealand would be in love with Jesus. Come on, if people ask, what is revival? To me, that's revival. Revival is everyone reaching everyone. Revival is every believer realizing that they're a catalyst with a significant calling in this nation, that New Zealand can be saved. New Zealand can be turned around. We don't get bogged down by the statistics, by the news, by the media, but we believe with hope that God is moving in this nation and that this nation can be turned around and that God wants to use you and use me. He wants to move through you and move through me. He wants to speak through you and speak through me to turn this nation upside down. Come on. Does anyone in here believe that? Amen. Does anyone here have faith for that? Yeah. Does anyone here? Come on, I'm not wasting my time coming to Christchurch to speak to a bunch of unbelieving believers. Come on, let's be full of hope for New Zealand. I deleted 2 of my news apps off my phone because they just got me depressed and in despair for this nation. And now I'm just full of hope. Jesus, you're moving. Jesus, you can do it. Jesus, nothing is impossible. Jesus, nothing is too hard. Come on, nobody is too far from God. If God can save Saul, a Christian murderer, he can save your friends. He can save your family. He can save your long-lost cousin, your uncles, aunts, your grandparents, your mothers and fathers. Jesus can do it. Yeah? He can save your neighbor. He can save your school. He can save your university. Jesus can do it. No hard too hard. No one too far. Come on. All right. Okay, let's stand to our feet.